because I got some emails from folks, and a couple of phone messages, and you know, but I like to start on time and end on time. So I'm going to go ahead and start. And what I want to talk about first, because last time I opened with meditation, and I'm getting directed to do that, that this needs to be set up with the meditation first rather than last. So for those of you that aren't familiar with meditation, just some real simple suggestions, because what you're wanting to do with it is quiet this, the voice of the ego, because that's the chatter that's always going on up there all the time. It's just the voice of the ego trying to get us out of present and into past or future. So the best way to do that is, for me, was to pretend I was a mouse or a cat sitting in a mouse hole waiting for the mouse to come out. So what you're going to do is practice pretending to wait for the, or not pretending, but you know, don't pretend you're a cat if you don't want to. That's cool. I have a wild imagination and I play, okay? What I want you to do is I want you to focus on waiting to grasp that next thought, waiting for that next thought to come out. And as you do that, what you're going to experience is that while you're focused on it, waiting for it to come, it doesn't. Because being that focused puts you in present moment. That's how you can tell when you're fully present. This is quiet. A lot of times, most people think they're present. 99% of folks are not present 95% of the time. We just aren't. So that's a really good test. If this is quiet, nothing, chances are you're present. So you're waiting for that next thought. Another way, if that doesn't work for you, get in touch with your senses. You can start with your eyes open and just look around you. And as long as your mind isn't jumping in there and identifying things, look at color, texture, shape, size. Just notice what you notice with your eyes. If your mind is doing stuff with that, labeling and identifying, then close your eyes and listen with your ears. And just listen to the layers of sound. Focus on the layers of sound. And then move to smell. What do you smell? Move to your skin. What are you feeling? The temperature? The chair under your butt? Against your back? Your feet on the ground? How your particular clothing that you're wearing feels against your skin? Just notice it. If you start to have mind chatter about it, you're going to have to go to something else because then it's not working for you. And that's okay. Don't berate yourself. That's just the ego. The ego will jump in. It will tell you you're the most awesome human on the planet and you're better than everybody else, or it'll tell you you're a piece of crap and you're nothing and you can't ever do anything right and everything in between. The ego doesn't care. It will grab onto any identification it can in order to exist. So what you want to do is get that silent. So then the next thing to try focusing on your breath. And a lot of times what I'll do with that is I'll just think the word inhale when I'm breathing in and exhale when I'm breathing out. And I focus on my abdomen because I want you breathing down here. If you're breathing from up here, you're not getting enough oxygen into your body. So breathe here and feel your abdomen. Inhale, exhale. And just repeat those words, because a lot of times if you can focus, that's why they'll use mantras in meditation. It gives you something to focus on so that you stay present. Okay? Because that's the only place ego doesn't exist, is in present moment. Does anybody have any questions? Or? Oh, you can use your bench. You can, and you don't have to stay in a chair. You can lay down on the floor. You can lean up against the wall. Yeah. Absolutely. So I want you to be comfortable, and if you've already got a practice, then do what is comfortable and normal for you. I am going to shut this door, however. Hi, come on in. Because restrooms are right down there. There's two of them, and they're on the right side. And that's for everybody, so y'all know, restrooms are out that door down the hall, and there's two of them, and they're on the right side. Okay, so practice, what you want to do is practice either waiting for that next thought to come, or practice focusing on what's going on with your senses, okay? Listening, feeling, okay? And if that doesn't work, then use the inhale, exhale, those words as you're inhaling and exhaling and focusing on your abdomen. And we're going to have a 15-minute silent meditation. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start us off with the sound of this is a quartz crystal ball. It's attuned to the crown chakra. And I will do it again when our 15 minutes is up so that you know to start returning. Okay? Okay, before I just jump off the cliff and go in my usual wild-ass directions, are there any questions with what you've experienced and the instruction I gave ahead of time? Or any comments on what you did experience? No? Okay. What I'd like to do is just open us up with a bit of a blessing. Today is a new moon. It also is a full solar eclipse. And what I got in the last couple of days of meditation about this particular solar eclipse and new moon is that we have been pushed through a really big transformative time. And in other words, at this point, what we're going to be doing is transforming into what we're supposed to become. And we are multidimensional and multisensory beings. Homo sapiens are really kind of leaving. They're the five sensory creatures and that's it. And we're bigger than that. You know, when you have those little hits about something and you go, oh, that was weird. Well, no, that was your intuition. And we all have that. You know, it's not a special gift that only some people have. Some people are just a lot more attuned to it, and some people know how to listen to it. But we all have that. And I really believe that a lot of what this is about at this time is the change and the push that that is really being demanded of us to do on a spiritual level, and that is to wake up. It's not any longer about just get a job, make sure I have a house, make sure I have a car, make sure I, you know, just the physical survival stuff. And then once we get that, then it's about, you know, fill the house up with stuff and have all the latest stuff. And, you know, and then it's about, oh, I'm going to talk, you know, I need to be able to do this and do this and do this so I can tell everybody, oh, well, now I do this and I do that and I, you know, I'm this big person, you know, I have importance. And all of that is all of the ego, and it's all superficial, and it's all surface, and it all has become irrelevant. And that's what we're seeing in the world. The world is a reflection of what's going on with us. And when I say that, what I mean is this. Einstein said our biggest illusion is that there's more than one of us. That our biggest illusion is there is more than one of us. Now that's a trip when you start thinking about that one. And that's why I so firmly believe that each of us, we are a projector, and everything we experience in the world is what we are projecting. So if I'm experiencing people being pissed off at me, people cutting me off on the freeway, flipping me off when they cut me off, you know, stuff like that, oh, how unfair the world is, and, you know, or this is happening or that's happening, and I'm really affected by it, or at least I'm believing I'm really affected by it, it's because that's what I'm projecting. That's what I'm projecting. So before I get started, there's some things that I want all of you to have an awareness of with me, and that is when I use any one of these words, they are synonymous. They all mean the same thing. So I use them interchangeably, but they mean the same thing. Ego, mind, thinking, and thoughts. Okay? To me, the thinking and the thoughts is the ego, the ego's voice. That's what's going on. And the ego, I really do and have come to agree with a whole lot of master teachers out there, one of which some of, most of you may have heard of, Eckhart Tolle, Power of Now, A New Earth. A lot of folks seem to be familiar with that stuff. And what he refers to, and what a lot of teachers before him referred to, is that the ego is like this separate entity. It's like human beings, somewhere along the line, got this gift of thought, being able to sit down and think through a problem or a challenge. And what happened was, it's like any other tool, you know, you use a hammer to put a nail on the wall and hang a picture and you put the hammer away. But with thinking, we have become so addicted and obsessive and compulsive with our thinking, we take that hammer and we put the nail on the wall and hang the picture, and then we just go around all day long knocking the hell out of everything. People, things, I mean, we're just, because that tool that was supposed to be a tool is now, I believe, really kind of turned against us. It's out for its own need. And that's a lot of what Tolle talks about, Byron Katie talks about, Don Miguel Ruiz talks about. Don Miguel Ruiz refers to it as mitote. And that's that entity, that energy that comes in and basically masquerades as us. But when I talk to people about, say, depression, and they're telling me they feel depressed. Last client I had this afternoon, and I asked her, I said, okay, you're feeling all this depression, right? Yeah, it's and, you know, the antidepressants aren't working, and this isn't working, and that's not working. I said, do you notice that you're depressed at work? Yeah. Do you notice you're depressed when you're doing the dishes? Yeah. Do you notice that you're depressed when you're driving down the road? Oh, yeah. Who's noticing? Who's noticing? That's the I am presence that is not all this gabbing that's going on upstairs in our heads. That's the true you. The real you. And that's why it's so important, for example, to practice meditation, especially silent meditation. I mean, guided meditation is wonderful, but it doesn't help us discipline this. And that's what silent meditation is about. So in the beginning, most, I don't know, I'm going to assume that most people were like me, are like me. I would start, and the whole 15 minutes felt like 2 hours because this wouldn't shut up. And I mean, it covered the gamut of everything. It even pulled up stuff about people I hadn't thought of in 3 years, you know? Oh, and remember when so-and-so said? So I experienced every emotion under the sun. And pretty profoundly, you know, really strong. in that 15 minutes. So by the time I got done with that 15 minutes of silent meditation, I was friggin' exhausted. It was like, damn, I don't know how soon I want to try that again. And if you think about it, this does exhaust us. I mean, how many of you really have hard physical jobs? Not many. Most people don't. You do, Lisa? Okay, most people don't. But most people will tell you at the end of their 8-hour day, they're exhausted. And it's not even so much I don't believe about what their actual tasks are, because my actual tasks with my job is nothing. It's pretty simple. But it's everything that goes on up here all the time. And the constant evaluation and the constant judgment. Now think about it. You have these thoughts, and as you have these thoughts, for every thought you have, there's an instant emotion. Even if it's small and you don't even notice it, there's an instant emotion. Now, when I was describing that first time I did a 15-minute silent meditation, and I ran the gamut of all the emotions, I was aware of all of them because they were pretty big. I mean, I felt resentment, and I felt anger, and I felt sad, and I felt, you know, scared, you know. And the reason I say scared is there wasn't anything that was actually, you know, physically threatening or anything. When I use fear and scared, because that's something our culture won't use, we would rather say, well, I feel abandoned. I feel rejected. One, those are not feelings. Okay? Abandoned and rejected are actions. They're not feelings. Two, if you're over 18 years old, you can't be abandoned. You're an adult. Sorry. Okay. So what we're afraid of is what's actually going on when we feel abandoned, when we think we feel abandoned or we feel rejected, is that what we're feeling is afraid of not getting what we want or keeping what we have. Because fear is always about those two things. I'm either going to lose what I have or not get what I want. So and most of the time, it's about love, approval, and appreciation. I'm not going to get the love, approval, and appreciation I want from certain people. Now, I'm going to... Oh, I like tangents, so here I go. A couple of days ago, I got a message from a friend on Facebook saying something about how she was really getting PO'd about how she had done this and she had liked this person and liked that page and done all this supportive stuff, but these people weren't liking her back. And I said, okay, how well do you know these people? Like, where are they? Are they family members? Are they close friends? Do you do things with them, social stuff? Well, no, but I've met them at meetings, or I've, you know, ran into them here and there, and we started talking, and we had something in common. Oh, so you're not really friends then, right? And that's what I've noticed, is that Facebook, for example, has created this whole culture that doesn't have any clear boundaries. I mean, it looks like it does, sort of, but it really doesn't. And people are having these huge emotions and reactions to virtual relationships. I mean, I find that just absolutely fascinating. But that's because of this. That's because of our mind. Our ego is constantly in search of something else. Our ego loves to want. It wants all kinds of different things for all kinds of different reasons. How satisfied is it? How long is it satisfied once it gets? You know why? Because as soon as you get that, you're in present moment. It's right here. Ego doesn't exist in present moment. So it might get some bennies off of, like, say it's a new car. So it gets some bennies off of getting an ego stroke or, do you see this new car I got? Yeah, it's got blah, blah, blah under the hood and nye, 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 and, you know, and you kick the tire a few times and you have a few people going, wow, that is awesome. I bet that set you back. Oh, no, man, it wasn't anything. You know, that's all ego stuff. But as soon as that all dies down, now what does the ego do? It's got to want something else to put it out in the future. Because being right here, right this moment, is impossible for it. It doesn't exist. So right now, I want you to take a moment because I want you to experience this. I'm going to have you flood yourselves with pure consciousness. It's really easy. I want you to just, and do it eyes open, eyes closed, entirely up to you. What I want you to do is first start out by just saying, I'm a man or I'm a woman sitting in a chair. And just get really centered on just that thought. That's it. There's nothing more right now, is there? I'm a woman standing. Feel your body. Get into your body. That's what grounded means. When you hear people say, God, I'm just so not grounded. I've got to get grounded or I got to get centered. Whether they know it or not, what they're talking about is they're not in their bodies. So get into your body. I'm a woman sitting in a chair. I'm a man sitting in a chair. Feel your butt and your legs against the chair. Feel your back against the chair. Is there a temperature with it? Be in your body. Feel it. If you have any aches or pains in your body, what I'm going to do is tell you to go there. I want you to go be with that sensation, whatever that pain is. So if you've got lower back stuff, go into your lower back. Kind of just sense or see yourself just kind of sit with that sensation in your back or your stomach or in your head or in your shoulders or your feet, wherever it is you're feeling uncomfort, discomfort, or pain. Now, as best as you can, imagine breathing into it. Just, there's no trick to it. There's no, just be with that sensation. Maybe you can even visualize it. Maybe it even takes a shape and a color. And then breathe with that part of your body. Breathe with your lower back. Now move your attention to your hands. And feel your hands. Can you feel the energy moving in your hands? The aliveness? That's pure consciousness. And if you take just even 60 seconds every morning when you wake up to do that, before you even get out of bed, wake up, get yourself centered. I'm a man, I'm a woman, lying in bed. Get in touch with your body. What do your sheets feel like? The warmth of the blankets, right? Maybe you notice that the exposed skin feels a little cooler now, but the stuff under the covers feels really good. And just feel it. Don't judge it. Don't go, oh, this feels bad. This feels good. Just be with it. Just be with the sensation. Just notice it. Be the noticer. Just the observer. And start at the top of your head. And just slowly come down, noticing your scalp, your face, the back of your head, your neck, your throat, and just move down your arms to your hands and feel the aliveness in your hands. And then move down your chest and your torso into your hips, your legs all the way down to your toes. 60 seconds. And you have just flooded your body with consciousness. The other piece that happens with that when you do that, you relieve stress. And I want you to know, for those of you that are big into anti-aging, okay, the ego, you know, if the ego's got a hold on you and is like, you know, gotta do this anti-aging thing, this is the best secret to know. Because when you have stress, even stress that you don't really notice because it's real low level, stress automatically causes inflammation in the body. Inflammation sets us up for disease and accidents down the road. But in the meantime, what it's doing is it's sucking the life force out of our cell tissue. And that's the primary cause of aging.
I've been doing that when I work out. I get on my
elliptical. Yeah.
My toes are working out.
Uh-huh.
And every single tiny muscle is working out. Making the workout feel like that, but I'm focusing not on.
I got to get this done. Every part of you is totally present with what you're doing. Oh, that's awesome. That's it. Awesome. That's great. That's great. And that's a good example of that. So, yeah, but I want you to start practicing it when you're still. And then once you get it down and you can do it while you're doing something else, then you can move it to all your activity. When I'm washing dishes, I am totally into washing the dishes. That's what being present and mindful is about. That's all I'm doing. I'm a woman. Washing dishes. Period. There's nothing else. You know? Or scrubbing the toilet or vacuuming or...
Mm-hmm.
It will take anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. In fact, that's why I ended up stopping several groups that I was with. Because what was happening in those groups was that, you know, and the way I teach it is that it's like we get seduced by our personalities. So now the personality or the ego has got this new identification as, I'm this spiritual person. I'm awakened. Are you? And it's like, you know, run. There's a book that I read back in college that was just awesome, that I loved it. If you meet the Buddha on the road, kill him. And that's essentially what that book was talking about, was that the ego will grasp anything and want to take it on as its new identity. It'll be the badass. It'll be the bad guy that everybody hates. It'll be, you know, the next coming of Christ. I mean, it doesn't care. And everything in between, as long as it has an identity and can believe that it will exist as a result of that. That's all it's interested in. So it doesn't matter. Okay, when it comes to that stuff, to me that's still the voices in my, because otherwise, you know, if you weren't hearing that, you wouldn't know that that was going on, right? I mean, there's some thought, and that's where I really believe in Byron Katie's work. It's questioning the thoughts and turning them around, because basically what I discover every time with that stuff is that there's really nothing out there to attack. It's all me. It's all me. You are me. Each one of you in here are me. And through your eyes, you're the projector, and so me and the rest of us, for whoever you are, we're you. So if I'm wanting to attack you and say that it's the energy of the pain body that is feeding on all that negativity, right? And is saying, you know, well, look at them. I want to fight them, or we need to have a cause, or, you know, because the ego, I mean, I had a good friend that was, you know, anti killing of the whales. Well, I was too. I didn't believe in that. That doesn't fit anything that's ever been a part of who I am. But for him, it was his whole identity, and it's where he got all his power and all his, and he was so identified with what was going on with them that his pain body actually was getting bigger and bigger and bigger as a result of that. And you know, one of the things I would do today, if I were in touch with him today, is ask him, what in you are you not seeing here? Because whatever I'm doing this to, I mean, we hear this all the time. I'm pointing the finger at you. I got three fingers pointing back at me. Right? Most of us have heard that. Well, if that's true, then if I'm wanting to attack, if I'm judging, if I'm criticizing, if I'm putting down, I have even gotten to the point where I believe if I'm saying, oh my gosh, that's really sad, that's a judgment. And that what I'm saying that about is something in me. You know? I've been clean and sober for a little over 30 years. So most of that time, whenever a friend of mine or someone even in one of my groups that I was in would go back out and get drunk, one of the first things that would happen in my head before it even came out of my mouth was, oh God, that's so sad. Oh, I hope that he can make it back. And I've come to believe today there's no reality in that at all for me. None. It's not that I lack compassion. Compassion is different. Sadness to me is that he's not doing what I think he should do and what I think is good for him. So, as a result, I feel sad. How do I know that that isn't his path? How do I know that somebody, and I'm going to, this stuff gets really radical, so I'm just going to warn you now. How do I know that it isn't somebody's time to die? What, because they're not past the age of 85 and had a full life? You know why I know it's okay that babies die and children die and young adults die? Because they do. That's the reality. And that's what I love about Byron Katie's work is it's very clear about if I argue with what's real by deciding for me, that's not okay. I don't like that. That makes me angry. Then I'm insane. Because I'm arguing against reality. Does it mean I condone certain things? No. I don't condone drunk driving, for example. But I also know that drunk driving is a fact. So I'm not going to have any feelings about it. Why would I have feelings about it? It's a reality. Does that mean if I run into a friend and that friend's been drinking that I wouldn't take their keys from them? No, I would take their keys from them. Because in that moment, I have an opportunity to do something to maybe alter that. So I'm going to take their keys. Does that get them sober? Hell, I don't know. Probably not. They're going to drink. somebody's going to use drugs, if somebody's going to compulsively overeat, if somebody's going to gamble, if somebody's going to work themselves to death and avoid their family. Do you know that work addiction causes as much dysfunction in a family as alcoholism does? I mean, you know, our culture is so insane because all we do is we look at alcohol and drugs as the big thing, and there's all these other addictions. Addictions, because they alter the chemistry in the brain. And what happens is they cause as much damage, but we reward them. We reward work addiction in this country. And yet, look what's happening to our health. And not just our physical health. Look at the mental health of this country. Our culture, you know, if our culture sat down with a good, healthy shrink, like maybe from another culture, and was evaluated, I don't think it'd come out so good. I think it'd come out pretty schizophrenic. Just saying. Just throwing the idea out, you know? Always. Yeah. And because I really believe that's what's happened is that we are addicted to the compulsive, obsessive thinking. Everything is, we come from our heads. We don't come from our hearts. We don't, and that's why people are so starved and you know, here we are going through a recession, and yet me as an emotional and spiritual teacher, my business is fine. Why is that? Why is that? Because so many people are so far off track, and there's a piece of us, that noticer, that knows we're dying. That this isn't the way it was meant to be. That this isn't okay. And that all this stuff is not doing it. It's not about us, not enough. It's not doing it. It's not filling up our hearts. It doesn't touch our, it doesn't speak to my spirit. And so, what's the answer? And a lot of people out there are searching. And the thing that I keep asking when I hear from somebody and they'll say, oh, you know, I'm a spiritual seeker. And I say, well, a lot of people are, but don't you find it kind of interesting that not too many people are finding? I think, you know, and I really think that what part of it's about is we're not questioning our thinking. And I'm not saying go to the other extreme and don't think, but we need to use it as a tool. We need to use it as a tool. I need to use it when I sit down and write out my bills and balance my checkbook. And if I'm going to plan a trip, then I'm going to want to go into left brain. And I'm going to want to use, you know, because I'm in the third dimension, so I'm going to want to deal with linear time and do all that. And as soon as I'm done there, put it away. Get back into this moment. Be right here. But I had to get really willing, and I mean, this was a stripping down process for me. I mean, and there were times that I thought I... Not only wasn't I emotionally going to survive it, I didn't think I would physically survive it. And that was stripping away all the identities that had come together creating what I thought was me. You know, who I was in AA, who I was in Al-Anon, who I was in CODA, who I was as a counselor, who I was as a mother, who I was as a daughter, who I was as a sister, who I was as a friend. Oh, and then let's break those down. I was different as a sister to this brother than I was to this brother, I noticed. And I thought, why is that? How can that be authentic? It has nothing to do with them. It had everything to do with me. It had everything to do with how I was perceiving them and how if I didn't behave a certain way, I might lose their love, approval, or appreciation. Because that's usually always what it boils down to. And a lot of people will say, oh no, Karen, it's not, I'm not looking for love, approval, and appreciation. I said, okay, so tell me, are you okay with telling your boss, you know, I'm really tired with what is going on with this, that, or the other thing, and I don't like the way this is. Well, no, I can't have him mad at me. Then you're looking for approval. That's exactly what you're doing. So it's just a different way of saying it, but that's what it's about. Okay? So what I would invite you to do is take a look at what are some of the areas for you that you can identify the easiest. Go for what's easiest in the beginning. Man, I did. Don't make this any harder than it is, and trust me, it's difficult. Because the ego, the mind, is going to jump in and grab anything and everything. And just like John shared, it's going to even grab onto positive stuff and start, and you won't even know it. You'll be so seduced by that. I've experienced that. I've been seduced by, you know, I was going to be a rock and roll star. That was my goal in life. And I'm not saying that as, you know, that was a bad idea. I still think it was actually a pretty good idea. But obviously, there were other plans for me, and I didn't end up there. But that still was an identity, a personality, a way to be. So I kind of got drafted into, you know, being this counselor teacher. And I really fell into private practice. I can't even, one of these days I might share that story, but it's nuts how that happened. And so I'm busy, you know, seeing clients all day long. But I referred to it as my day job. And I dressed like the rock and roller that I imagined myself to be. Now, it still amazes me that I had a full practice. And that I didn't advertise. It was all word of mouth, which made me wonder sometimes if people just weren't seeing this as just the best entertainment on earth. But I was seduced by that personality, that rock and roll image. And that was everything. And then when I finally, I'll admit it, at 45 years old, let that go. And thought, okay, that's not the way things are going to be. I accept that. Then I started trying to try on, that's the way I referred to it as, this personality, this identity, as this counselor in private practice. And being that I didn't have much else there to work with, or the ego didn't, the ego just grabbed that, and it's like, yeah, that's who I am. That's what I'm all about. I have this private practice. I know what I'm talking about. And as soon as I said that, the universe sat up and took notice and said, oh, okay, watch this. So then I got to experience my significant other going back out on prescription drugs, me getting cancer, him having an affair and leaving, you know. I mean, so what I'm going to suggest to you is this. You can either learn it by wisdom or you can learn it by woe. What I'm going to recommend is learn it by wisdom. Everything it feels, I think my life, I think I'm supposed to be a walking example of what not to do. And I'm okay with that. At this point in my life, I am. I'm just like, okay, you know. And I'm being funny with that. The truth is that, well, the truth is I'm going to make sweatshirts that say HKU, Hard Knocks University, because that's how I've done everything. Everything. And the truth is that I don't believe I had to do that. It was the ego that would hang on and refuse to let go. And every time I would have those moments of clarity that came up, and the noticer would go, whoa, what are you doing? Like, this makes no sense at all. Somehow the ego, whether it had more strength, bottom line is, what I believe now, what I know to be true now, is that I didn't have the discipline then. So I couldn't hang on to those moments of clarity. And I couldn't get into that place. It was much easier to say, screw it all for the thrill of the moment. It was much easier to just go, oh, I don't want to deal with that right now. And this is, God, if I do that, I'm rocking the boat. And then he's going to do that. She's going to... So, and to me, that when I, the way I look at that now, it was one, lack of direction. I didn't have the information I have now. But it also was lack of discipline. I don't know if I had the information, would I have done anything different? I don't know that I would have been capable of it because I wasn't willing to discipline myself. You know, when I was, I don't know how many times I tried to quit smoking, but whenever that compulsion would come up and it would be really, really strong, I would just say, screw it. I'm too weak. I'll do it next week. I'll do it when I get past this. I'll do it today. Whatever. That was that lack of discipline. I wasn't willing to wait through to the next minute. What would the next minute feel like? What would the next 5 minutes feel like if I just stayed present, just stayed right here? And that's when I started playing with the whole notion of stay. That's why I started watching, even though I'm not a dog person, I don't have a dog, I like Cesar Millan's The Dog Whisperer, because I talk to my spirit that way. You know, when the ego's jumping up and it's going, nya, 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 and my spirit's like just wandering out there going, okay, whatever. You know, no, stay. Get back here right now. Stay. Stay. And there are times, even in meditation, where I'm saying stay, like that's my mantra. But use whatever works for you. Use whatever works for you. Play with it. Have fun with it. Part of it to me is having to, if I start taking myself too serious, I know the ego's taken over. If I start taking myself too serious, I know that I've already gotten seduced into something, some sort of role. And so the ego is going to play with that and, you know, dial it in and get, and it gets very serious. Everything, you know, yeah. Even being funny is serious business to the ego. So it's like, you need to really keep an eye on yourself all the time and question, is there anything going on here that is not allowing me to be in this moment? I'm a woman standing. I'm a woman sitting. I'm a man sitting. And just being that. Just being that. When I was talking about doing the flooding your body with pure consciousness and had you try that, it's one of the things I've been working on the last few months with people that are dealing with long-term chronic pain. People that have been on like morphine and stuff and are trying to get off of those drugs. And one of the things that we're doing is working on, if you get present enough with something, even hard physical pain, it dissipates. That's what we're discovering. It is a trip. It's unbelievable. So there are times that, of course, now, see, the ego will even be, I just love this. I see my ego anymore as this errant child that shows up all the time, trying one more time to get center stage and keep it, because that's its goal. And You know, so like when we were doing the flooding of pure consciousness, I remembered, and this wasn't maybe a week or so ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, where I was doing that, and I'd been experiencing some low back stuff because I'd been lifting boxes and unpacking and bending, and I had gotten out of being present, and when I'm not present, then I'm not using good body mechanics, and then I pay for it, right? Okay. So I remember getting really quiet and really still and getting really focused on my body, giving the command through each part of my body for the muscles to relax. And then I went to where I was feeling the pain in my lower back, and I went to sit with it. And in my mind's eye, I kind of look over at it to see if it's taking a form, because sometimes it does. And I heard this, "Do you come here often?" And I was just like, Jesus, never a dull moment or a break. So, you know, I mean, one time in silent meditation, I remember getting this vision of a petri dish with these little pink amoebas with little bows in their hair and these little blue amoebas. And yeah, so, you know, and you can get mad at yourself. I could have gotten, you know, pissed off, like, God, I'm trying to meditate here. Well, that would have been my ego. Okay. So I just, okay, I see. I don't want to focus on that right now. That's okay. Just sort of breathe into it and let it just kind of go. And keep away from the judgment. That's the most difficult thing, I think. At least it was for me. Is keeping away from the judgment, because I am my worst critic. I will beat myself up for the littlest things that nobody knows about. You know, it could be just a thought that went through my head, and it used to be, thank goodness, practice has helped. I don't do this anymore. But I would just beat myself for days over that. How could I have thought that? Where did that come? What kind of person am I? I'm not working my steps enough, or I'm not doing this enough, or that enough, or whatever enough. And it just, that's just the ego. That's just another form that the ego will take. Okay? So, what I'd like to do now is just open it up to questions and the comments. For questioning about anything that I've been talking about, comments about what your experience has been based on what I've been talking about this evening.
I'd like to say that. Mm-hmm. Learning a lot. Because this last 7 days, mm-hmm. I went on a cleansing.
And cayenne pepper, and hot water, yeah.
So, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I stayed home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And really work on non-consistent food. So I stayed with kind of what you were saying, that when I got this. A cup of tea and close my eyes and drink tea and try to be right here with it, and it really helped me. So I'm not sure how I really got through all that, but I was able to do it and just be there in my home and do the next thing and do it thoroughly and not lift. I don't want to do the next thing. And I was kind of pretty centered. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and staying centered is to me the same thing as like being present. Because you're just right here, right now. Awesome. What a great experience. Yeah, the master cleanses can be pretty powerful to go through. Yes, I remember that feeling. Yes. Oh, absolutely. On all levels, it will clear. Are you dreaming a lot? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's all part of it. Yeah. Yeah. Right on. Thanks for sharing. Anybody else?
You know, you were talking about that secret.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing some research on it. And it's in the science, Gemini, it's off its ruler, Mercury. Mercury has to do with our ego, our mind, how we think,
what communication. We
think, communication, and in a weird kind of way, this entire conversation is verbatim what Gemini and Mercury are all about. Attention the last 48 hours, the next 48 hours, and the ability for each one of us to get this stuff on now, it couldn't be any better.
Right.
So,
yeah.
It's almost a crazy conversation.
Well, see, and the thing is, somebody asked me, I think I shared this in the last circle, if I needed to plan more, you know, I needed to be a little more focused about what I talked about, and because I tend to do tangents and rabbit holes and stuff. And I said, well, you know, I thought about that at one point because my ego sort of grabbed on to the identity of this as a separate thing from what I do in my practice. And it was like, well, if you're going to be a teacher, then you got to. And I was watching this movie. I shared this, I think, in the last circle. I was watching this movie, and it had it was about a minister and his struggles and blah, blah, blah. And it was sort of on, but I was sort of half watching it. But what caught my eye was when he was sitting in his study and he was pulling books and he was writing his sermon, right? And I thought, well, that's what I should do. Not write a sermon, but I should kind of know what I'm talking about and then pull references from books and have notes so I can know what I'm doing, right? And then I heard this whole voice just start laughing hysterically, going, yeah, that would really work, wouldn't it, Karen? You don't need me anymore? Okay. I went, wait a minute, because that would just cut out what the whole thing was, which was when I go into meditation, especially to find out what do you want me to teach? Universe, source, I don't care what you call it, God, unified field. I'm a quantum physicist, so the unified field is what it is to me, but all the words are the same. God, higher power, great spirit, woo-woo in the sky, whatever, it's all the same thing. So, If I'm wanting to be connected to that and surrender into that process and be an instrument of that, then me sitting down and plotting and planning and pulling stuff out of books is cutting that off, you know, and saying, you know, I don't need that. And that, frankly, scared the hell out of me. So I said, yeah, no, I think I like the surrender idea a lot better. It may be a little wandering around and back and forth, and I may do a few rabbit holes now and then, or a dozen or so, but, you know, I always eventually come back, don't I? Yeah, most of the time I get back to... So, and Gemini with Mercury, too, would explain a lot of that. Yeah, I think part of it, too, at least what I read, I don't know, Matt, if you got this part, was that it pushed us through the final stripping away, and that what's happening now is that people are having to go through the, and transformation is not the word I'm looking for, but it's the one that keeps popping up. It's like all the ingredients have finally been put into the pot, and now it's about gelling. It's about coming up with this new energy that's being created. Yeah, integrating the whole thing. Yeah, and that's the process we're in now, is that integration, assimilation stuff.
The other thing that power is in solar and in lunar. Lunar is more emotion, solar is soul. But there's typically in solar, something ends, something new. What you're teaching us today's
Kool-Aid. Awesome. Yeah. It's a, I think I consider myself to be blessed, and I feel really grateful to be alive at this time in human history. This is just an exciting, huge, huge time for us as a species, really, quite frankly. And even people that are struggling with waking up or not waking up are being affected and impacted and changed, transformed through this process. So none of us get to go untouched, even if people are busy doing everything they can to avoid it. Any other comments or questions? I wanted to leave enough time this time because I know that I haven't in the past and people have said something to me about it. It's beyond okay. I absolutely believe that whatever I've not accomplished at this point, I wasn't supposed to. Why? Because I haven't. I think it's that simple. If I accept reality for what it is, then yes, I wasn't supposed to successfully quit smoking until the day I actually did. Not a day early, or wasn't a day late. That's when it was supposed to happen. Because, in fact, that's when it happened. That's the why. Not the blind faith of, don't question why, it just is. You know, it's not about that. It's about, I know that that's the way it's supposed to be, because it is. That's the reality. If that's what's happening, then that's what I accept. It's like you've all heard of what you resist persists. Well, I understood that. My mind grasped that. I got that. What I didn't get was to the level that goes. Every time I say, even just in my mind, if I just have a reaction of, I don't like that, or I would prefer this, or that irritates me, that annoys me, that pisses me off, that upsets me, that saddens me. One, those are all judgments. Two, it's the ego keeping me out of present moment. And it's all resistance. Just that thought alone is resisting the reality of what is. Another way of looking at it is, if you want to kick yourself out of paradise right now in this moment, you're in paradise. And if you want to kick yourself out of it, think of something that you need to make this better. This would be a better experience if I were sitting in a recliner. Or this would be a better experience if it was warmer or cooler or... if we could sit on the floor, and by all means, if anybody wants to sit on the floor, please feel free. But you know what I'm saying? Is that whenever I am looking, whenever my thought enters up with something that is better or an improvement on where I'm at, I've just destroyed paradise. Because until that, everything was fine. Do I really need anything? One of the things that I loved, and I'm gonna, I'll wrap it up with this, I think, is everybody can virtually probably say to themselves or agree with, I need more money. I know very few people, and I do know a few, who really don't need any more money. But most people I know would go, oh yeah, I could use more money, right? But when I take that through the process that I've taken all my other thinking through, what I discover, no matter what, is I am never in a moment where I actually need more money. Ever. And I even took it so far as to play in my imagination and imagine myself sitting on a suitcase that had a few little personal belongings they were allowing me to keep. Sitting on that suitcase up at the top of my driveway because they were hauling out all my, the creditors are hauling out all my stuff and the bank's taking my house back. In that moment, do I need more money? In that moment, I'm a woman sitting on a suitcase. And it's so interesting to me that when I did that, it shifted all my attitude around money. And when I shifted my whole attitude, belief, and perception around money, I began to notice how every time I wanted to plan something or do something that was going to cost money outside of what my budget normally would allow, voila, somehow the money would be there. That's the ego, though, of going there. What one of the things that is really tough to practice, because the ego is always looking outside of itself for love, for money, for approval, for appreciation, for tell me I'm okay, tell me I have value. I need validation. And when I finally, and I don't have this 100% of the time, trust me, but I have it more now than I've ever had it in my life, and that is I have so much love and approval and appreciation of myself from me that I find I just don't require it from anybody. So that when people I really love and care about do something or say something, they're pissed off at me about something, I'm able to stay in that position of the noticer. It's like, oh, she's really upset, and she thinks it's about me. Okay. And I don't have any more reaction than that. I mean, and when I do receive love, approval, and appreciation from others, it's like I've already created this beautiful platter and painted it and fired it and then made this incredible friggin' cake and put it on the platter and then frosted it and then decorated it. See, this is how my mind goes, you know, because they say how you can't have your cake and eat it too. So I have to go into the detail of it. So, and then I put all the candles in it and I've lit candles. I did that all myself. I didn't need anybody to do it. So somebody comes along, family, friends, a lover, and gives me love, approval, or appreciation, what they've done is add another candle to my cake. That's all. It doesn't become my whole world. It's not, oh God, now he's given me this, and so he can't take it away. Because he might change his mind tomorrow, and that's going to be okay. Here's your candle. And I am absolutely amazed that I am there as much as I am anymore compared to where I used to be. Because I understand what you're saying, John. I do. And It's that looking outside of me and believing that I need to get it from out there into here. And it's kind of like, how do you take the wetness out of water? You know, it's like, we are love. You are love. You are pure love. That noticer, that observer, that listener that hears that obnoxious noise all day long is pure love, pure light.
I have something that I'm starting to understand a little bit about it. And that's what he says, that being present, having presence. That's what it's about. How do you get that?
Yeah, and see, the thing that trips us up is we have been so ingrained. I will say I was so ingrained by first the family I was raised in about what love was. Love was obligation. Love was responsibility. Love was, if you care about your family, this is what you do. And then as I got older and could understand other levels of love by watching television and the television shows I watched and the movies I watched. And then later, I mean, think about the songs. Jesus. I mean, you know, and I was a songwriter and a singer. I mean, you look at some of my stuff and I just like get nauseated. It's like, oh, that was pre-Coda. I mean, no doubt. But, you know, that's what we were, you know, that's how we got programmed. We were like these little computers, and we are. In fact, actually, they know for sure now the first, from the moment of conception to the around 7 years old, we are these little blank computers that everything going in, there is no discerning, there is no filter, there is no nothing. Everything comes in and is setting up the computer. Now, does that mean it's stuck there? No, absolutely not. Anything that's learned can be unlearned and relearned. Anything in your computer can be not just deleted. What's the thing when you uninstalled? Uninstalled, and you can buy a new program and install that one. Now, it's not that easy for us. We have to first identify what the program is. Right? And the uninstalling process is not as simple as hitting a button, but it can be actually pretty simple. I don't believe we need long-term therapy anymore. That's in my opinion, I'm going to put that out there, it's obsolete. It is obsolete. When you learn how to question the thoughts, when you learn that you literally, and this is how Katie talks about it, let's pretend you are deathly afraid of snakes. For some of you, you may not be pretending. And we're going for a hike in the desert, and we come around this bend, and there, smack in the middle of the trail, is a big old fat venomous snake. And because you have this huge fear of snakes, any kind, you're frozen. And the cloud moves away from the sun, and the light shifts, and you all of a sudden realize, oh my God, that's a rope. That's not a snake. It's a rope. That's what the process of, if you learn how to do it correctly, and learn how to do it from right brain, in a meditative state, same thing, that you can question your thoughts, so that now, you could stand over that rope for 1,000 years and no one's ever going to be able to convince you again that it's a snake. Because you know it's a rope. And you can do the same thing with your thoughts that way. And as soon as you shift those thoughts, it's like taking one pair of glasses off that had you looking at the world all screwed up. and putting on a pair that just really clarifies everything for what it is, and that reality is. It doesn't mean that I condone it, but I don't disagree with it anymore. You know why I know that murder is okay? Because murder happens. So obviously it must be okay. It must be out there. Does that mean I condone it? Does that mean I'm going to go murder somebody? Does that mean I'm going to convince anybody they should go murder somebody? Absolutely not. Because I want to be in a place where that doesn't exist in my reality. But the fact is, I know that it does exist. So, okay. What I'm going to do, since I like to end on time, I like to close this with the Lord's Prayer, but I do the real version. It's Aramaic translated directly to present-day English. Not the version that we ended up with, which was Aramaic to Greek to Latin, through how many times has the English language changed, right? Try reading English from like the 15th century. You wouldn't understand a word of it. Okay, so here's the Lord's Prayer directly from Aramaic to English. O cosmic birther of all radiance and vibration, soften the ground of our being and carve out a space within us where your presence can abide. Fill us with your creativity so that we may be empowered to bear the fruit of your mission. Let each of our actions bear fruit in accordance with our desire. Endow us with the wisdom to produce and share what each being needs to grow and flourish. Untie the tangled threads of destiny that bind us as we release others from the entanglements of past mistakes. Do not let us be seduced by that which would divert us from our true purpose, but illuminate the opportunities of the present moment. For you are the ground and the fruitful vision, the birth power and fulfillment, as all is gathered and made whole again. Aho. And thank you very much.